What exactly is UX design? What are the roles and careers you can explore in this particular field? If this is something you're interested in, stay tuned. Welcome to the Zista podcast, where we invite industry leaders and academicians to answer questions that students have within a particular subject area. Today, we're focusing squarely on UX design, and joining us is Nishant Jain, co-founder of Nitrous Design. Let's go straight into the session. Welcome to the podcast, Nishant. We're delighted that you're joining us here today.
Thanks, Amit. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. So I thought I'd start with a very basic question. Now, when I was looking at your background, I realized that you've graduated with a degree in computer science. And after that, you went into, you got straight into graphic and web design. 5 years later, you've co-founded Nitrous, a UI, UX design and Webflow development agency. So my question really is, what inspired you to pursue a career in UX design?
So my journey started off, once school got over. So back in 2010, there were not a lot of straightforward opportunities to pursue design as a career, right? I feel that I always had a knack for design, even though I didn't understand the terms UX design or UI design at that point, because they were not very popular back then.
Sure.
Right. But at that point of time, the only way you could get into design is through animation or doing a course in NID, right? These were the only options. So both of them didn't seem compelling enough at that point of time. So we thought of, going into the next best thing, that was computer science, right? So that's when, I enrolled into DU for computer science honors. And once that ended, that was a point of time where I was seriously thinking about, what next? Because I have this computer science education, but this is not something that I want to pursue. And at that point of time, design was picking up in India. So there was a natural inclination towards pursuing that. Right. So I was confused for a year. I dropped. I didn't pursue the normal path, which was to do MC after that and get into a software engineering job. I was taking advice from multiple people. One of the people said that, MBA is good. So I even prepared for CAT. I took that examination. I even got calls from a few IIMs. But at that point of time, it was something didn't really make sense, pursuing that path. So then, as chance happened, I got to know from a friend of mine that there's an opening for a UX designer in one of his companies, the company he knows. So I interviewed for that and I got a trainee role, and then that's how the journey started. So it's been, as you said, 5 years. After that, it felt quite natural to start your own thing. So I met my co-founder here in Pune, and while we were working on a few projects in the company, we felt that design is something that we can actually give as a service to our clients if we do a thing of our own. And that's how Nitrous started. And it's been, it's our sixth year now. So
awesome. Yeah. With a name like Nitrous, is there a gaming angle there somewhere?
Not a gaming angle, but we are car enthusiasts, both the co-founders, and Nitrous just happened. So Nitrous means adding the boost in a race that helps you Absolutely. Get to the finish line faster, right? So we thought that, design is something that actually gives you that boost in your business, whether that is an user experience is such a big thing now, and it can really be a winner for a business, right? That's what we felt, that this is an app name, and this is small, this is easy to remember, and just worked. So
it does. It's a really nice name. I like it too. So let me ask you a more fundamental question. What is UX design, and how is it different from other design disciplines?
Okay, so as the name user experience design suggests, it has to do with everything that the user experiences while working with a product, right? Now, it's not just wireframes, it's not just, you know, what you design on screens. It could be anything. It could be a physical product. It could be a physical product with an application ecosystem, right?
Sure.
So a lot of products, both online and physical products, they have various aspects and touch points where the user interacts with that system, right? So I feel in a nutshell, user experience design is basically making sure that each of these touch points, at each of these touch points, the experience of the user is great, right? And this is a vast field we have, you know, as it has evolved, as I've seen it evolve over the years, there have been multiple specialties within it that combined allows this to happen. But I think, you know, if you just talk about a small project or a small team, a UX designer is basically working to improve the experience of the user for that product.
Right. Thank you for explaining that so well, Nishant. And another question again along the fundamental lines was we say UI, UX, and so on and so forth. So between the two, between UX and UI design, what are the key differences?
So UX is a vast, I think UI is a field which is not very different from you know, UX design. It's a part of UI design, UX design, but it is specialized into just the interfaces that the users interact with, right? So that means that you know, the look and feel of the screens, accessibility is a big thing, right? Because essentially a UI designer is working with colors, contrast, typography, iconography. So all of these things combined creates interfaces which help the user experience the product better, right? So just as an example, you know, if you see a screen, right, and everything, for example, a music application, right? If I just list the songs without the album arts, you'll not have a good experience, right? And it's not just about the beauty of the album arts. You'll have a hard time even finding songs that easily, because in our mind we associate with graphics more than text, right? So how do you display that on an interface to the point that, you know, that graphic takes the right amount of space, but you also show the other information on that application? So it's a very small thing. I've seen, you know, as an iterative process, when I use Apple Music, they've moved from a static album art to a dynamic album art where the album art actually moves, right? So this is an iteration which enhances the experience for the user, right? When I'm looking at that album view, it's not a static thing, right? It's something which is immersive. So these are, you know, things which UI designers think of and work with, right? And, you know, as I explained UX design, so without this, the experience is not good. Then, you know, it's not the only way to improve the UX design, the experience of the product, so, right? So a UI designer could be working with other designers in a team in collaboration to make the entire experience come alive, is how would I would explain this.
All right. So it would be fair to say that UI design is a subset or falls within the larger umbrella of UX design. A little earlier, you mentioned about how UX design or user experience design can go on to physical products as well as digital products. But the term UI and therefore interface would imply predominantly digital products and digital experiences. Would that be a fair assumption or a fair way to look at it?
Connect.
Great. You know, when you look at consumers, I think our expectations also have increased over time. If I were to think back and look at a really cool music player, and I think of the iPod, in that point of time, just the way you could, toggle between albums and songs, and that time they were just text, but that was a fantastic experience. But having experienced something better now, the bare minimum experience that you want to aim for is something which is rich, graphically rich and engaging. And as you gave a very good example in the form of Apple Music, where it's actually moving. So it's not just, say, a static image, it's something which is actually moving. So that's it just goes to show how user experience design also is constantly in a state of flux, right? Our experiences define the next generation of products and services that we consume.
Exactly. In fact, If you remember the iPod, the most the biggest USP of that was the interaction, that click wheel that it had, if you
Absolutely.
remember that, right? Because essentially at that point of time you were working through lists, and that click wheel was basically a very fast way to navigate within lists, right? So that was such an innovative thing back then. Once touch screens came into play, it was obsolete, but back then it was such a pleasure to use. So yeah, that is also one of the ways to describe the experience of a product which is not digital, right? So someone must have thought that it's interacting with the screen, but how can we make it better than just you giving a D-pad which just moves it one song at a time, and then a center button that selects it,
Sure.
right?
I want you to, if you don't mind, if you could walk us through what happens in a typical UX design project. So it would be really interesting to hear from you in terms of what really is the process, the end-to-end process. And in that, when you're covering that, I'm hoping you can also touch upon the different roles or the, micro specializations that you were talking about. It would be really interesting to hear that.
Okay. So a typical design project essentially involves figuring out the requirements, ideating on those, coming up with solutions, testing them, and then reiterating till you get the first MVP, I would say, then release it to the market, and then continue this process,
Okay.
right? So a UX design process for applications and products is an iterative one, and I feel it's never ending, because as I gave the example of Apple Music, right? They didn't launch the dynamic wallpapers in the first go, right? They started with something else, and then once it was there, then someone was continuously working to improve that experience, and then that's what they thought of as a next step, right? So initially, the UX design process involves getting on a call with the client. I'm assuming a typical design project that a design company or an IT company takes, right? Or even for an in-house product within product companies, right? It's all about when a requirement comes in to create a new product or add features to an existing one. It's essentially getting on a call, having a UX workshop. So we do websites for funded startups in Silicon Valley. There are also mobile and web applications which are being designed. So the process in general remains the same, but there are some internal differences, right? So I'll talk more about the web application and mobile application part of it, right?
Sure.
So a new application idea or a new feature has come up. The stakeholders will have a meeting with the UX designer in a UX workshop where we try to understand who is the target audience, right? What is a value proposition for them, right? And what are we trying to build, and what problem we're trying to solve with that feature or the product, right? Once that is done, then comes the research part where the requirements are defined in a place, and then we start the research, whether that is market research, user research, competitive analysis. And then coming up with defining all that and coming up with solutions, right? I'm talking in a broader sense. So there are steps within this, like defining the user journeys, personas, user flows, information architecture, and all that. But essentially, research, define all of that, and then look for solutions and present something, and then iterate on that, right? So the specializations within them, at this point of time, would include a researcher, right? It could be, as a UX designer guiding this whole thing, right? And a researcher, and then an interaction designer could also come at play here, right? Then once we, so the solution is basically presented in the form of wireframes, right? The
Right.
screens, right? So once that happens, and we get to a point where we are fine with the flows and how the entire application is structured, that is when the UI part starts, right? So at that point of time, it could be again interaction designers, visual designers, so they create all the mockups and the prototypes, and then once that is done, we could have a testing going on right after the prototypes, or we could develop that and then do the testing, right? So people, the subset of UX design there would be user testers in that particular field. So that's essentially to break down the design process. And once that happens, once we release it, then this is more of a ever-going iterative process of enhancing it.
Awesome. You mentioned it's an iterative process, and you mentioned that, you know, you want to get an MVP or a minimum viable product out in the market. But at what point of time in your iterations do you feel that, yes, this is now ready for being released in the market? And I had another question, if you don't mind. So, you know, you said that we create the wireframes, and at that point of time, once everything is finalized, then the UI process starts. Have you experienced an instance where when you were doing the UI, you know, process, where the visual designers, the interaction designers are jumping in, that you had to go back and change something, you know, from a overall experience perspective?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to answer the first question, the MVP approach basically follows, you know, we just ask very basic questions, whether this particular feature is mandatory to have or it's sure. nice to have, right? So there are some things, and this depends on the competition available, the market research, and, you know, at what point the product is. So if it's a new product, then even the basic features can be considered as part of MVP, and everything okay. else is just nice to have, right? And but if there exist other products, and then we're just releasing a product which has all of the other features but has a USP with that, so that USP plus the basic features would then form part of the MVP. Otherwise, you know, releasing that with just the basic features would not sell, right? So it's just a simple ask of whether something is mandatory or nice to have.
Got it.
Right. Yes, that is something that, in fact, I encourage that. I feel that these are not, the different steps within the process are not isolated with each from each other. Once the wireframing is done, we get to the UI part. A lot of times, these refinements, these changes do happen. And I think that is how it should be, right?
So being agile and flexible also is really important. You know, not just sticking to something and saying, hey, we've done it this way, so now I don't care. You guys figure it and just make it happen. But actually being agile, being flexible, being willing to go back to the drawing board if necessary, but really trying to get it right. I think that's the larger intent.
Definitely, definitely. And here's where agile methodology works really well, because it allows us to experiment with things, fail fast and fix quickly, right? So you just would, because it's something, if you want to do something innovative, you have to have room for failure, right?
Right.
Otherwise, we're just doing what is standard and then we're playing it very safe, right? So without that room of failure, we cannot really do anything unique, right? So that's what, and we don't want to do it in a way that we build so much and we spend so much money building something and then test it out and see that, you know, this entire thing just fails, right? So that's where being agile really helps. So you experiment with a new thing, a new way, a new interface, whatever that is, test it, get the feedback, and then iterate.
Awesome. Sounds really, really interesting. And also a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah, fun work.
Right. Now, I wanted to ask you, Nishant, you know, AI is really seeping into different aspects of work, and you know that design is no different. Could you give us a few examples where AI is being successfully integrated into the UX design process?
So AI, I would say that is an enabler, right? It's something that with time will become so, that's what I feel, will become so part of the natural process that we would not be able to work without it, right? And this year's time, we were seeing it continuously. You know, it started with generating content and images for your website design project. But then slowly with tools like Figma integrating it, and then, you know, Photoshop and other tools coming in, this is something which will really help the entire process in terms of doing research, generating ideas, and then iterating, right? So what happens? What happened before AI came to the scene was that a typical research project would look like, you know, we get that requirement We go on the internet, Google stuff, do a lot of research, talk to people. You know, there's a lot of things happening, but not in a very direct way, right? With AI, you know, we could just ask the relevant questions or the prompts and get the answers in a faster way, right? And then, you know, since AI works with things which have worked before, it gives us a lot of these answers in a direct way, right? And it is also a lot of work because you have to give the right prompt.
Sure.
But it's once someone masters it, it's definitely easier than the other way, right? So doing research or, you know, coming up with new ideas. So we've seen a lot of people also doing a lot of clients when they come in. They have, for example, you know, they want to do a branding thing. So they have generated a few concepts through AI, right? But
Okay.
this is not something which is polished enough for them to go ahead with, right? So they also you know, come with that sort of a requirement that we've done this part of research and we want you to take this and, you know, see if you can work with this, right? So and this is evolving, right? But I feel that, you know, with the way it's going, it will become a very integral part in the entire process going forward.
Awesome. Nice to hear that. Thanks, Nishant. I just want to say, you know, this overall conversation has been really interesting and engaging. And I, you know, thank you for making time for coming on this podcast. We really enjoyed this discussion, learning about some of the fundamental differences between UI and UX design, as also from compared to other design disciplines, but also understanding the different roles that exist within the process and, you know, hearing from you. So it's been very enjoyable.
Thanks, Amit.
All right. We've covered some basic ground in the field of UX design, and I'm happy to say that Nishant will be joining us once again to continue this conversation and go deeper within the field of UX design. I hope you like this content. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube to keep getting notifications as and when new content goes live. You can also follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Our handle is The Zista Podcast. This is your host, Amit Ahuja, signing out. This episode has been made by the fantastic team at Zista, which includes Danish Shah, Udita Rana, and Russell Aldridge. Till we meet again, stay curious.